Welcome to the weekend services with Brother Don Cottrell from Camelsville, Kentucky. We want to welcome you tonight to this service. May your hearts be uplifted as we fellowship together around the precious Word of God. God bless. Glad to have special music tonight. Myrna and Wanda are going to sing a duet, I guess, before Brother Don comes to preach for us. Sort of got better acquainted with Brother Don this evening. Found out he and his wife have four children. Myrna and I have four children. We found out he has three boys and one girl. Three girls and one boy. And we have three girls and one boy. Our youngest is 5 years old, and his youngest is 8 years old. He has a boy and a girl who are 16 years old. They're twins. And another girl. How old is the girl? 10? I trust we'll be much in prayer tonight. I said, I thank God for you that are here, and let's get on the telephone and encourage others to be here tomorrow night. Hopefully, a servant's quartet will be here tomorrow night and Sunday morning. And they certainly will be here Sunday morning. We trust they'll be here tomorrow night to sing for us. Brother Don, you come and give us God's word that He's laid on your heart.
You'll learn a whole lot about me this week or this weekend, because my preaching usually ends up with some stories, and I try not to. I have to quit telling stories sometime and preach. But I try to. My stories, I attempt to bring them into the message, but one thing reminds me of another, and that's what usually happens. So you'll find out about me as I preach, because I talk about my family and friends and country that I live in and all those things. So you all pray for me as we try. I wish you'd turn with me just a moment to 1 John, the 4th chapter. I want to read about 3 or 4 verses there. John has written. Begin with the 13th verse. We have something that we all have to deal with. And maybe you like me, and maybe you've had to deal with it. And I think God deals with it here in this verse of Scripture. And I'll tell you what it is so you can be looking for it. It's fear. Okay. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Now, he says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love him, because he first loved us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you do love us. And more important, we're glad we know that tonight. We know that we are resting in your love, and Lord, that we are depending upon you. Now, Lord, we thank you that you make us aware of this. And as we read your word and study and proclaim your word, we learn more and more of your love. Now tonight, may we leave here with boldness, because you love us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. How many here have ever been scared? How many here have been afraid? Raise your hand if you've been afraid. Surely everybody's been afraid. You've been afraid? You never been afraid of anything? I had some people say they wasn't. Never been scared. How many here is afraid of the dark? Raise your hand if you're afraid of the dark. I'm going to get you on this. You might as well raise your hand, because I'm going to get you in a minute. How many, okay, everybody says, I'm not afraid of the dark? Well, I am. I'm afraid. Come on, Nick. You're afraid of the dark, raise your hand. Okay, Nick. Because how many up here that says you're not afraid of the dark, when you go into a dark room, reach around the corner and turn the light out? Huh? See what I mean? See, we all have fears, don't we? We're afraid of some things. I've heard people say, I ain't afraid of graveyard. Well, I'll go to graveyard. And it's, I'll go to graveyard tonight. Everybody says, I'll go over to graveyard tonight. I ain't going to graveyard tonight. I'll go to graveyard tonight. But you walk in behind a tombstone there one night, and they walk in that graveyard, you jump up and go, boo! And they'll run, won't they? Because, see, we're all filled with fears of things that we don't know anything about, the unknown, things like that. And as a child, we have fears. Now, I want to tell y'all a story, and it happened to me. It's a true story. And if you think it's funny, you go ahead and laugh. It's all right with me. I had one guy told me one night, as I was preaching, he said, "Brother Don, I've been sitting here all week trying not laughing," but said, "Tonight I just couldn't help it." So if you want to laugh, it's all right with me. In fact, I feel kind of funny if people don't, because what happened is funny, but it so illustrates the point that I want to make tonight, that I've got to tell this story. As a child, the thing that I was afraid of the most was a big old red rooster. How many ever had any dealings with an old red fighting rooster? One of them things like, yeah, okay. This was the thing that tormented me. You know, fear had torment. This rooster absolutely tormented my life. I couldn't play. I was a little boy about the age of, what's her name? Don? Okay. And I was about her age. And I lived over on Wash Hatfield's place. Well, y'all don't know where that is, do you? But anyway, that's down in Hart County up on a hill up there. We drove through two gates. We called them gaps. Y'all call them gaps? That open gaps. And we lived up on top of a hill up there and on an old farm on Wash Hatfield's old place. And this old rooster, we had a bunch of old chickens. And I never did know understand why they had to have roosters anyway, because chickens laid eggs, but we had to have that old rooster anyway. And this thing was a fighting rooster. With a whirl thing. And every time I'd walk out the door, this rooster would come and crawl up my britches leg and flog me. Like this. And so, I don't know, it just something. I was scared to death of that thing. And it finally got to the point I just would hardly go outside. And I know one day I ventured. I said, "Well, I got tired of it," and I said, "I got to go play." And I said, "Maybe I can get out of the house and get over the hill down there by the pond before that thing sees me." And I looked out the door and I didn't see it nowhere. All right, and I said, I got out and stepped off of the step. And just as soon as I got off that step, he come out from around the chicken house, right after me, you know. And I started running from that rooster. Now, this is a very important day. The reason I'm telling you about this day, because this was a very important day. And this thing started running me around the house. And now, we had a house. We had a door in the front and one in the back. And you could look in the front door and see out the back door. You know what I mean? Okay? And there was a door in the kitchen, and you could just go back and forth. Well, my mama's in the house, and I'm hollering, "Mama, let me in! This rooster right after me," you know? And I started running to the door. Well, she didn't make it to the door. When I got there, I was a little faster than she was. And she didn't make it, and so I had to go all the way around the house. Well, my mama's a little big. She's fat. That's what it is. Okay? And she's a little slow, you see. And so by the time I got all the way around the house on the other side, she hadn't made it to that door either. And I'm hollering, "Mama, let me in." And I went around that house three or four times with that rooster after me, trying to get in the house. And finally we made connection, and she got the door open, and I got in. Well, I went in, and I sat down. And that day I decided something. I sat there and I figured me out a plan of what I was going to do. Now, I didn't put it into action today. Now, I want you, it's very important for you to know, I did not figure out this. I didn't figure out I wasn't afraid of that rooster. I was still afraid of that rooster. But I figured me out a plan. And I said, "But I'm going to wait till tomorrow to put it into action." I didn't have enough boldness to get out that day. But I said, "I'm going to wait till tomorrow." But the next morning, about 9 or 10 o'clock, I got up. Or I was already up, but I decided I was going to go out and find that rooster and put my plan into action. I knew it'd come. I didn't see it nowhere, but I knew it'd come just as soon as I stepped out the door. And I stepped out the door, and sure enough, here it comes. Right at me. And you know how they do. You know how a rooster does when he flogs you? He gets his neck all extended up there, kind of raises it up, the feathers ruffle up on the back of his neck. He kind of sticks that neck up. Well, when he come up there and stuck that neck up and started flogging me, I grabbed a hold of it by the neck. I got a hold to that dude, and I held on till that rooster was dead. I killed that rooster. Now, don't you feel sorry for that rooster. That rooster tormented me. I would say we had chicken and dumplings, but we didn't. Mama wouldn't eat anything that was dead. I don't know. You know, they'd been just killed again. So we didn't do that, but we buried the rooster. And, you know, I didn't get a whooping either. I didn't get no whooping. Because my mama knew that that rooster had tormented me. And I tell you what I figured out that day. I said, Donnie Cottrell, you ain't very big, but you're bigger than that rooster. And Donnie Cottrell, you ain't very smart, but you're smarter than that stupid rooster. So why are you letting that thing run you around the house? The only reason it was running me around the house was because I was afraid of it. And you know, that's not a good enough excuse. That's not a good enough excuse. The fear as a minister of the gospel is my worst enemy when I allow it to control my actions. If I had waited until I wasn't afraid to do something, I would have never done anything. Our scripture lesson says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, what is fear anyway? Well, fear is an expression of our a desire to protect ourselves. That's what it is. We are afraid of something that's going to hurt old number one. You see what I'm saying? That's what fear is. We're afraid we're going to get hurt. So that's what fear is. Now, if that's what that ends up being is selfishness, then how does love take care of it? Well, love is the very opposite of selfishness. Love is giving. I often wondered when I'd read that scripture, how does love take care of fear? Because what's that got to do with it? But the point is, if you love, then you forget about self. And you do it anyway. You see, that's the opposite. He that feareth, it says, is not made perfect in love. Now, if I didn't know I wasn't perfect before, after reading the truth of God's Word and realizing I'm sometimes a very scared preacher, I know that I'm not all God wants me to be then, you see? Because I read that and it said, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So evidently I'm not perfect. Because I'm still afraid, all right? Still afraid. But it seems if we could have perfect love then, doesn't it? If we could have perfect love, then we would have not fear. We wouldn't have any fear. But we read in the verse before that, you know, sometimes it messes us up when we read the verse before it, doesn't it? It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, now, wait a minute. Is boldness then the very opposite of fear, or is boldness moving forward in spite of or in the very face of fear to knock off a few roosters? You see what I'm saying? You see, I wanted to bring out the point. I was still scared of that rooster that day, but I did it anyway. I did it anyway. Trusting. You see, we need to move forward in spite of our fears, trusting our God who loves us. Now, what do we fear anyway? What is our fears? What are our fears that keeps us from really serving the Lord? That's what I'm talking about tonight. That's what I'm going to get around to. I'm not going to really talk about roosters, you see. Roosters can be taken care of. We can choke them to death. But what are the fears that keeps us from serving the Lord? What are the fears that keeps us from loving our neighbor? What are the fears that keeps us from doing the thing that we know we ought to do? There are a lot of fears that do. Well, first of all, the fear of failure is the first one that we want to talk about. We are afraid to try. Many have not accomplished anything in their life because they are afraid to try. My philosophy is, I don't always live by it, but it's what my goal is, that you only fail if you quit. Somebody says, man, you failed. And I said, no, I haven't yet. I've not failed yet. I haven't quit. I'm still going. I'm still trying. You see, I haven't failed as a preacher. I may look like I'm failing, but I haven't failed yet because I'm still preaching. You see what I'm saying? I haven't failed yet as a pastor because I'm still pastoring. And if you're still trying, if you're still hanging in there, being a Christian and trying to do what God wants you to do, you haven't failed as a Christian yet because you haven't quit. Now maybe some of us have. Maybe some of us have. Many have not done anything because they're afraid. Let's look at little David just a minute. You know little David? In the Bible, I'm talking about little David in the Bible. Little David, not big David, not the one with the throne king, you know, with the crown upon his head, but the one that tended the sheep, I'm talking about. One that tended the little lambs, you know. Now, little David went up there, you know, where they were fighting up on the Philistines. And they had been stopped by a giant. Do you remember? The whole army of Israel had been stopped by a giant. Well, little David walked in there, and he said, I can take care of the giant. Now, some would have me to believe this. The Bible don't really make it out real plain. I think the Bible makes it out plain that David had a lot of faith in God. But it don't say David wasn't scared. I believe, if you want my honest opinion, and I have to read into it, I believe David was a little afraid of the giant. I believe he had a little scare. Here's a guy 19 foot tall. How tall was he? Anyway, Brother James, about 10 foot, wasn't he? About 10 foot tall, great big old guy with all kinds of armor and a spear bigger than David's head. You know what I mean? Now you tell me that David had to be stupid not to be a little afraid of him. You know, he had to be a little afraid of him. So I think he was. But David went down and he got 5 smooth, slick river rocks. That's what he got. Now there's been a big controversy for years. These people have studied it for years. Really don't make any difference, but that's what they know. Why he got 5 rocks? That's right. You know, people have worried for years. These people have probably spent their lives in study trying to figure out why he got 5 rocks. Somebody told me one time the reason he did was that he had 4 other brothers. Well, I don't know that that's true. You know, that may be true. That could be. He had 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. They said he had, you know, said something about 4 other brothers. But it don't say they were there that day. And if they were, it doesn't say they were rose up against the army of Israel and threatened anybody. It doesn't say that they were standing up there with Goliath. Don't say anything about that. And I figure this, even if there were 1 giant a day, it ought to be enough for a little old boy like David. You know, he ought to went off. So I don't know why he would have got 5 for the 4 other brothers. But maybe this was true. I think my idea is just about as good as that one. Maybe this is true. Maybe he had 4 more in case the first one failed. He wasn't going to quit. If he missed him with the first rock, he's going to hit him with a second one. If he missed him with a second one, he's going to get him with a third one, and so on and so forth. That's just as good as 4 other brothers. Well, the Bible don't say that, but that's just as good. And I believe this. I don't believe David would have quit till the giant was down. You see? I don't believe he would have let the fear of failure keep him from trying. Now, somebody said, well, David didn't fear. Well, David wasn't perfect. And the Bible says he had perfect fear, a perfect love. David wasn't perfect. He had a lot on the ball. He was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect, it's for sure, because he met a bigger giant down the road that he failed to slay the first time. You remember, it knocked him down and walked all over him. That giant of temptation just walked all over him, stomped him into the dirt, didn't he? But he got back up. He got back up. He didn't quit, but he got back up. You see, but it did knock him down. No place to quit ministry. We fail if we quit. You say, well, you're talking about the ministry, you're talking about yours. I'm talking about yours. There's no place to quit. We all have a ministry, and there's no place to quit. There's just one place, one time that we can quit. That's when Jesus comes. That's when He comes. That's when we can quit. When He comes. It's on time. I could go on with a lot of people in the Bible. Mark, you see, he failed, but he came back. We know he did. But Mark was Barnabas' nephew, you know. Paul got mad at him. Got upset. I mean, upset at the boy. Because Mark left them, you know, on the first missionary journey. He left them when the going got kind of hot.
Paul said, I'm not going to take him on the next one. Barnabas took him, you remember. Paul took Simon. And they went and had two missionary journeys instead of one. But old Mark turned out pretty good, didn't he? Because he wrote one of the Gospels. Okay, so Mark didn't quit. He might have failed. He might have, you know, kind of slacked up there a little bit. But he didn't quit. He kept on trying. Now the second fear is the fear of rejection. This is another fear that keeps us from doing what we know we need to do. I've always wanted to be accepted by my peers. I always wanted people to accept me. I don't believe a person. Now, I'll tell you, there's some things I don't believe, and I don't really stand up right to the face and call them a liar, but I've had people tell me, I don't care what people think about me. I don't believe that. I just can't believe that. I believe you do care what people think about you. I care. And it bothers me, and sometimes I fear doing something that might offend somebody or hurt somebody, or you know, or they might reject what I want to do, that they might reject me. Now, sometimes that's legitimate, but sometimes it's cop-out. Sometimes we say, well, I wouldn't want to offend anybody. Sometimes that's a good principle to go by. There's things that we don't need to do, even though it doesn't bother us. We don't need to do them because it might offend someone and cause somebody to stumble. But there's sometimes we use that excuse because we are afraid somebody won't like us when God has told us to do His ministry and His work. Now, back up just a moment. You know the reason we don't witness many times is because we're afraid. We're afraid we'll fail. We're afraid we'll do something wrong and mess up. Afraid we'll fail. That's one reason we don't. And the second reason we don't witness is because we're afraid somebody will say no. We're afraid somebody will say no. Now, I like for people to agree with me. I really do. And if I can sometimes compromise my suggestion to suit somebody else, I'll do that. I'm that kind of fella. I'm afraid that's what I am. I try to do it sometimes, and I get in a bind sometimes because I'm not doing a lot of times when I do that what God wants me to do. Sometimes I won't present an idea. I haven't, as a pastor, I wouldn't present an idea that I really believe was right because I'm afraid somebody would say that wouldn't be the right thing to do. You see, it's fear is what it is. The fear of rejection. I'm afraid to present it. I'm afraid somebody will say no. Well, if we let that kind of fear control our actions. See, we all have the fear of failure. We all have the fear of rejection. But we're supposed to walk out in the face of those fears and do what God wants us to do. Now, the third fear is the fear of being humbled. This is something I think that we all have to deal with. Being stripped of our pride. It's a fear, surely, that we all have. I mean, I'm a proud person. I don't want somebody to make me look bad. Do you? I don't want to be. As a kid, I probably would have gotten into some more fights. But I was afraid of something. I was afraid of getting whipped. That's the reason I didn't start a lot of fights. And, you know, I walked off. Now somebody said, well, Donnie's a good little boy. Donnie's a good little boy. He won't fight. And then we use this excuse, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, you know, type thing. But you know, really, a lot of the reason we didn't fight as kids wasn't because I was such a good little boy. It was because I was afraid I'd get whipped. Now, it wasn't either because of a fear of some physical injury. That wasn't it. You'd sport around a black eye and you'd say, well, look what I'll see the other guy, you know. But that really wasn't it. What I was afraid of was looking bad. I mean, you let some little old boy about a head shorter, or worse yet, a little girl, just whoop up on you, then you've got a problem. You know, of your pride has been hurt. Well, this is the thing we fear. We are afraid of being humbled. And this is the reason we don't go out many times and do what God wants us to do. It's because we're afraid we'll look bad. Well, now all of these things I've said is real. You say, well, what's the solution to it? Well, the only solution I have for you is what I did to the rooster. Do it in spite of your fear. Go ahead anyway.
And you say, well, what if all this does happen? Well, when I begin to think about like that, I turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. And I read this. Just in order to soak up some boldness. You remember what I said boldness was? Boldness is going in the face of fear and doing it anyway. That's what boldness is. Okay, I turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. As the truth is presented to me through the God's precious Word, I become bold. Now listen, in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together to good them that, there's that word again, love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29 and 30 says, God is directing. God has got us in His hands. And verse 31 says, if God, who is in charge, thank God He's in charge, all right, that if He's in charge is for us, who can be against us? You see, we're soaking up boldness all the time. And verse 32 tells us how much God loved us. It was a perfect love that He loved us with. Now, the reason God sent His Son was that He loved us. See? The reason Christ died for us on Calvary's cross was that He's loving us. Now we're walking in the sunlight of His love. But He has conquered all for us. And now we are subject only to Him. He has given, you see, the Lord has been given all power in heaven and earth. And that don't leave any for those old roosters. Not a bit, all right? He's been given all power in heaven and earth. And it is Him that we should fear. See what I'm saying? But with a fear of reverence. Not a fear that He's going to harm us because we go a little further. We say, okay, we're afraid of God now. God's going to hurt us. Verse 33 says, shall we lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifies? Well, God's one justified us in our sin. He's not going to hurt us. Now, who is He that condemns us? Is it Christ that died for us? Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God the Father, who is making intercession for us now. That's like your lawyer putting you in jail. That's what it says. You see? And it goes on to say, we are more than conquerors through Him that did what? That loved us. And love. See, we've made the circle. And love, perfect love, casteth out fear, and boldly we can proclaim His name and His word. Boldly we can stand. Jesus faced every fear that we face, every one of them. He did. He faced them all. The Bible says He faced every temptation and everything else we did, didn't it? He conquered them all. He faced all the fears. Jesus faced the fear of failure. Not that He was going to fail. But don't you know, He said, I'm going to die on the cross for a bunch of people that don't care. How many of them is going to be saved? How many of them is going to receive me? One time He stood up on the mountain, looked over Jerusalem. You remember? And He said, oh, if I could just take them in the arms. He faced the fear of failure, saying, will the cross do it? Jesus faced the fear of rejection. Let me tell you something. Jesus was God, totally God, but He was also a man. And He had a heart just like me and you do. And He felt and hurt on the inside just like we did. Still does. The Bible teaches God even hurts when we do wrong. But Jesus walked into His hometown. Yeah, that day. And saw His cousins and uncles and aunts and brothers and probably sisters, they don't say. But it was later that they came. James and some of them came to His side. Because evidently they weren't for Him. Only His mother followed Him around some. But He went into His hometown there that day. Walked in. And they said, phew, here's the big shot.
made a name for himself. Jealous of him. They rejected him. They rejected him. They throwed him out of town. Took him out of town. Going to kill him. They rejected him. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He faced the fear of rejection. But he conquered it. And certainly he faced the fear of humility. While he walked in this life, they spit on him. They mocked him. Then they nailed him on a cross. Gold nails in his hands and his feet. Stuck a spear in his side. Put a crown of thorns on his head. And gambled away his clothes down below his feet there. And then put him on that cross. After beating, they beat him with a whip too. They just humiliated my Savior that day. That's all you can say. He died the most humble death than anybody could ever die on a cross. And you say, well, he didn't know it was all going to happen. Yes, he did. He knew it was going to happen. And he faced that fear of humility. And he did it anyway. He did it anyway because he loved me and he loved you. That's why he could conquer fear. Because fear is conquered by love. So if you love a lost person enough, Christian, if you love a lost person enough, you're going to go out tomorrow. In spite of the fear of failure, in spite of the fear of rejection, in spite of the fear of being humiliated, you're going to go out and tell that person about a Savior who died on the cross for their sins. See what I mean? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Oh, I don't know how many times I say, well, it's no use. It's no use. Brother James, I'm sure you have. Why? I mean, I walked in a little old church 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night. Two people showed up. And I said, why in the world are we having prayer meeting? What's the use of having it? I mean, we pray at home. You know? But we fail if we quit, don't we? We fail if we quit. You see, Jesus faced all these fears. And it's His love that we need. Now, you know, we run around looking for our love. Man, our love is not very good. See, our love is full of jealousy and selfishness and all those things that are still in our carnal nature. But we need the love of Jesus in our heart. It's His love we need. And it's His love that I receive. And with the love of God in my heart, that which I fear becomes smaller and weaker, and I become bolder and bolder, for I know my God is able. You see. So, come tonight in the face of fear and make that commitment to do what you know God wants you to do. You know, there's some reason that we're here tonight. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there's probably people that should be here that's not here. I mean, I'd be silly to sit here and say I didn't believe that. I bet this pastor knows there's people that's going somewhere else not ought to be here tonight. But I believe with all my heart that God has us in His hands. And I believe His will is being done right here tonight. And I believe we're here for a purpose. I don't think we just showed up to have the service. I think we're here for a reason. And I believe this message is preached for a reason. And I believe this pastor is going to come and stand here with an invitation just in a moment, opening his arms with an invitation. And I'm going to give you an invitation. And I believe that you're here for a reason. Now, I don't know what it is. But there may be somebody here that's known for many years that God has called them or told them to do something, and you haven't done it yet. But tonight, this moment, you want to make that commitment. You say, I'm scared. That don't mount to hell of beans. That's no more than that old red rooster. Just choke it to death and do it anyway. You see what I'm talking about? My goodness. Folks, let's think about it just for a moment. If I waited till I wasn't scared, I'd have never been saved. I was absolutely scared to death the night the Lord saved my soul. I was afraid of failure. I was afraid of rejection. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of them people. I was afraid of everybody. Scared to death, afraid of embarrassment. But I went anyway because there was something in me just kept pounding and pounding and saying, it's you. It's you that's going to die and go to hell. It's you, Johnny Cottrell, I want in my kingdom. It's you that needs to be saved. So here tonight you're lost. Then don't let the fear keep you from being saved. You see what I'm saying tonight? It's you. Won't you come? Won't you do what God wants you to do? Somebody look around and say, man, there's not enough of us here tonight. My goodness. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. You see, he don't take many. We got one, see. You know how many we got sitting out there tonight? 12. That's how many Jesus had. All right? That's how many he had. Okay, let's stay. Let's stay. Let's do what God wants us to do tonight as we sing a hymn of invitation or whatever we got. You know, if somebody walked in tonight, maybe before I preached this, before they heard me, maybe you'd say, well, look at the crowd. Yeah, I'm afraid we're not going to have too good a revival. Now, what you say? So I'm afraid we're not going to have too good a revival. See, that's one of those fears, is what it is. It's one of those fears, isn't it? See what I'm saying? Just don't say that. Let's don't say that. But you know what we do when we say that? We're yielding to our fear. That's what we're doing. Let's just say we're going to. And if I get revived, then I've had revival, and I've already done that tonight. So I'm all right, you know. And if you get revived, we've had revival. There may not be 175 people saved. Could be. I told this preacher, I bought enough clothes to last me a week and a half. So if the Lord wants to go on, we just keep going. That's all right. But the Lord might turn loose. But if he doesn't, then that's okay. We've had revival. Just don't say we're afraid of because that's saying I'm acknowledging my fear and it's controlling me.
I'm glad I've been in church tonight. We need to conquer fear. There was a lady at the missionary at the evangelistic conference we had at Whitesburg Monday night. She came forward at the invitation and said, "The Lord has been dealing with me about something, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what He's leading me into." And I said to her, "Follow the Lord. You'll never go wrong following the Lord. And follow Him a day at a time, a moment at a time. He doesn't lead us 10 years at a time. He leads us a second at a time, a moment at a time, a day at a time. And be found where He would have us to be in that day." Brother Earl, would you come up and lead us in closing prayer tonight? Don't forget to spread the word. Tell someone about the services tomorrow night. And mention that the Servants Quartet may be with us tomorrow night. There's a good chance they will be here. They will be here for certain on Sunday morning. Brother Earl, you lead us in closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here.